Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful that you chose to be with me on this October 6th day, 2018. We're going to be looking at, can any of us know meaning? I am getting responses to my radio programs that I did a couple of weeks ago on this, and we'll take a look at it. We're in our Aspire fundraising drive right now to the end of the year to sustain this program, our TV programs, and everything that we do on Aspire. And I hope that you will give consideration to the idea of becoming a sponsor. If you become a sponsor monthly or quarterly, your donation will be matched. If you give a $25 gift per month, my donor will match that to $50, and that means a lot to us here at Aspire. So if you have enjoyed these programs, if you're enjoying them, if you think they're worthy of your support, which I hope that you do feel that way, and you understand the depth and the clarity of how these programs go out into the world and help many, many people, I hope you will become a sponsor and help us sustain. We're not here to be a religious organization that is trying to grow and take over the world and have its tentacles in politics and such. We're here to serve basically those of you who seek the way, the truth, and the light of yourself and realize how important that is for others who might be seeking the same thing, looking for that awakening, putting themselves in the position to awaken, spiritually speaking. It's a very, very important attribute in this world. You can do all the social causes you want, and it isn't going to change people at all. They still go right back to the way they were, and they have these fundamental beliefs about life and the meaning of life. And in doing all of that, they miss the meaning of themselves upon the face of their own livingness. So in Aspire, I offer a chance for people to step out of that mundane mentality and maybe grasp the straw, the one that is the bigger one that takes you to the way. Your donations allow me to go to hospice, to work at the hospital as I do. Everything I do as a volunteer needs support, and I hope that you will see the value of all this and understand what I'm really trying to do. It is only through your gifts that we are able to maintain Aspire. Thank you for listening. And now on to the program. If you are interested in becoming a sponsor, go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. You will see year-end donations and stories there. If you click on that, it will tell you all about how to join us and how to help in our cause. How does one find the meaning of life at all? I don't understand. This is Carol from Indianapolis. Well, how do you find the meaning of life at all? Carol, to find this meaning of life that I am speaking of, one has to have an interest in life. One has to understand that there has to be some sense of interest, some sense of flow into the meaning of life. Most of us do not have any meaning in our life other than our family, our friends, our job, our pets, our people around us that we like. We have only meaning found in the outer. We rarely have any meaning found in the inner. So we don't really understand the nature of our innerness. We don't even give it a thought. When you start talking about the inwardness of a person or what is going on in that inwardness, most people just miss it entirely. They don't understand it. They don't get it. They don't want it. They don't want any part of it because it to them equates to religion or philosophy of some sort. Look, call it what you will. If you're going to find the meaning of your life, you're going to find the meaning of what it is to live here on earth that is basically beyond the mental acumen of most of us as human beings. We only think in terms of survival, of probably eating, making babies, and having a job or money. So it's basically in the category of making babies, surviving through food, and doing all that with money. All three of those things are the only things that have any meaning to most of us. The perpetuation of the race is a very big deal. You know, I hear people say to me that, you know, this idea of gender is extremely important, and that the female gender doesn't get any respect. Well, that may be true in the business world and all of that. I'm sure that's probably true. But when you get down just to the nitty-gritty, this perpetuation of the planet through making babies, through having children and large families, where does this idea come from? This has to be something that is in our genetics, in our chemistry, and it's run by men and women. And the whole idea of a man pleasing a woman is about giving her whatever it is she wants and perpetuating the race through her biology, through his biology. We never see the meaning of what it is to go past all of that and have an authentic relationship. And my question really is, do you think we can have a relationship with one another without the perpetuation of making babies, of having a family and surviving as a family? We think, you know, there's a safety in numbers kind of thing. People have these odd ideas that if you perpetuate the race with a woman or a man, that you have fulfilled your destiny. Somehow you have fulfilled everything that is important, and that is simply not true. Not true at all. And how many people do I know, both men and women, who make that the sum and substance of their life because they can't be alone? They can't be alone with themselves. It frightens them to resonation of hell, to think that they might have to live alone and deal with the person they have made themselves become. And it perpetuates itself over and over and over again as the children leave the house and go off on their journeys, whatever that's going to be, which the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. We teach people and ourselves that being alone is a losing proposition. It's not good. You know, we go into all of that stuff, and none of that is true. Not one single inch of that is true. And yet we perpetuate it in our minds, thinking that we are finding the meaning of life. The meaning of life is not in the perpetuation of the planet through people, objects, and things. It isn't even our survival. The meaning of life is contained in something other than our physical survival. What would that be? It isn't a philosophy, and it can't be a religion. And only those who have a sense of deeper perception, the more intelligent a person becomes, they start to remove themselves, you will see, from their emotionality. You can do this. Any one of us can do this. When you and I start removing ourselves from the chemistry of the body, the DNA of our human body's existence, and we start to realize that we live in a body, but that we are not a body, that is when the meaning of life begins to emerge. Now, to talk people out of the genetics of it all, the DNA of it all, the perpetuation of the race, the idea of a good life, of circling the wagons, of building a tribe, that whole thing, as the antidote to a meaningful life, you're not going to be able to convince very many people of that. And so, Carol, I don't know what kind of person you are. You want to know about how do you find the meaning of life? I don't know what kind of person you are. So I don't know what you're ready for, what you're looking for. Are you looking for a philosophy? Are you looking for a religion? Are you looking for what? And whatever it is that you're looking for, the answer lives within you. But the answer is speaking in a language that most of us don't want to hear, that we don't want to think, and that we refuse to acknowledge because it goes against the grain of culture, society, our body, its chemistry, and it's highly annoying. It's just highly annoying. But be it as it may, that is the answer to it all. And takes great courage to live in love, to make love the point of everything that we do. Now, I'm not talking about human love. I'm talking about the love that can only emerge through a soul. And that love is an amazing experience, but few of us ever really go into that because we're so busy wanting what we want to secure and make the human mind and human body comfortable. That's all we're about. Make me comfortable. So, ouch. Kind of a long, drawn-out thing. Forgive me, Carol, but yours is a great question. I couldn't resist it. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question comes from Jesse. He often writes us, if there is a meaning to this life, who would be the one, or what would be the one to dictate it? Jesse. Well, Jesse, you know, the Catholics have the Pope, the Buddhists have the Dalai Lama, the Republicans have Trump, the Democrats don't have anything, as far as I know. I don't know. Everybody has to have a leader. You should read my commentary on authority. It would help you understand why we need authorities and people to lead us. It's really stupid, but I won't get into that. You know, the whole deal here, Jesse, is that there is no one that's going to lead you. I just want you to understand that. A true, authentic awakening that can happen in a person as a spiritual being is not an authority figure. It is the awakening of the heart. And the heart then reveals the soul. And once that has been revealed, or it becomes a revelation inside of us, it also becomes a revolution inside of us. You don't need a person to lead you. You don't need a cause to lead you. You don't need a philosophy to lead you. You don't need an organization to lead you. You won't be led. You will be inspired deeply within yourself. You will have attained. To go beyond the whole rigmarole of right and wrong and good and bad and ideas. You see, the meaning of life is beyond the conception and the ability that we have for ideas and thoughts. The meaning of life exceeds all of that. It goes way beyond all of that. It's an inference inside of us. It is a deep movement within us. It is an evolution. And as we evolve into this through consciousness, meditation, conscious living, seeking what is authentic, not getting caught up in the rigmarole of thoughts and the ideas that can go across a person's mind, creating their own controversy and their own conflict. Once you start recognizing that, once that starts to diminish in you because you see how foolish it is to argue with yourself or ideas, once you're done with the conflict, then there is no need for dictating the meaning of life. The Pope dictates the meaning of life, the behavior of people. The Dalai Lama, I have no idea what he's doing. I'm not a Dalai Lama fan, okay? I don't dislike him, but, you know, I am opposed to anybody who needs to have a fan or needs to be worshipped. I have a hard time with that. The thing that is most important, and I don't believe he represents the heart of the Buddhist, the person who is seeking earnestly to awaken, I just don't think he does. And I don't think he's awakened either. I might as well say it. I have nothing. The whole effort of being spiritual is to be, shall we say, I'm going to say this, independent of all of that rigmarole, and to be living in a conscious way, a way in which simplicity, solitude, and silence may reach you. There is your disciplines. There is the way. The rest of it is all politics. And I'm not a political person, Jesse, and you might know that from the things that I do and the things that I speak about. We're not here to be politically correct. We're here to awaken, to attain. And if I attain, that's when something of the other shore begins to ripen within. Something of the other shore begins to grow and mature. So, Jesse, there is no one that's going to dictate freedom. There's no one in this world that's going to dictate the idea of what is right and wrong or good and bad in the form of spirituality. You will find it within yourself. You won't need words. You won't need thoughts. The whole idea is not to follow a philosophy or an authority figure. The whole idea is to awaken spiritually, to come to that place where the awakening of love can finally occur within you. This is the ultimate meaning of life. This is the ultimate meaning of insight. So don't make yourself into a person who has great difficulty trying to understand the meaning of life because you're trying to figure out who you should follow. You follow the heart. The intelligent person does not follow thoughts. The intelligent person does not follow emotionality. The intelligent person follows the way of the heart, discovers it, finds it, follows it, awakens to it. And that is really what it's all about. People have perimeters around the idea of how much they should give to themselves in the course of a practice, how hard they should work, what they should be doing. And in living in such a manner, we miss the whole effort of what it is to awaken spiritually. You are a spiritual being. You do live in a human body, in a human form. But that doesn't mean that's where it begins and that's where it ends. It lives deep within your beingness. And when you call it up through silence and living in simplicity and living in the solitude of the heart, you will find that the awakening has always been there. It has never been away from you. You have never been lost. You have only thought you've been lost. Thinking makes me think I'm lost. But the heart brings me back to the meaning of everything. In the center of our being is this core of great love. If you attune yourself to that vibration, that essence, that tone, and I've given you many meditations to work on, to help you do this, in fact, to direct you to do it, you will find that the authority you seek in the outer is silly and useless. That the only real authority is living within you. You are the way, you are the truth, you are the light of everything. When you awaken to your heart and you put your heart way above your thinking, way above your head. Now, again, not the human heart, the spiritual heart, the heart that is the essence of it all. Very few people I have found in my years of living have the courage to put to even find the spiritual heart and much less to put it above the human heart. But there you are. It's a very difficult thing for human beings to do. We're very argumentative. Anyway, there you are. I hope it helps you. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question from Tim in San Diego. Meaning is relative to our needs. Am I correct, Tim? You know, for the most part, Tim, you're right. You really nailed it. And I saved your question for last because I think it's very significant. People have needs, emotional needs, physical needs. And the sad part of it all is that we make those needs the meaning of our life. If you need to have a person in your life, a mate, because your biology is telling you, let's make babies. If you're needing someone in your life to live with, a mate, because you can't live alone with yourself, you know, if you feel like you need to get something, have something, do something impulsively, and it becomes a need, people will make that the meaning of their life. And if you think in the terms of success, people will say to you, well, I was successful in making money here and gathering a bunch of people over there and having all of this adoration here, and that is the meaning of life, and hence I am successful, blah, blah. We make it successful. We, quote unquote, make it meaningful. We make everything the way we want it to be made because that's the way we think. We are here as slaves to our body, to our biology. We are here as slaves to our genetics, our DNA, and we use impulse as a way in which we live with all of that. Hence, it makes it very difficult for us to awaken spiritually. We see no reason for it because there's no adoration in it. Nobody is going to look at you and go, oh my God, you're enlightened. You did it. No, enlightened people who are awake inside, they don't look any different than anyone else. And for the most part, we don't care about any of that. We want adoration. We want our needs to make us popular or make us a good person or to make us, shall we say, successful. That's not the meaning of life at all. But you can do, Tim, what you said. It was beautifully written that the meaning is relative to our needs. You are correct 100%. It was eloquent of you to say that. But it's a futile way to live, and it isn't going to bring you to anything profound or meaningful at all. But be that as it may, that's what people do. That's what the majority of the world does. So when a person accomplishes a need or fulfills it in some way, they are considered successful. But in that success, most people have lost themselves. What was it Jesus said? What have you gained if you've gained the whole world but lost yourself? Well, that's a pretty powerful statement to make. But still, people want to be successful because they want the stuff. They want to be occupied in their life. So when you get the money and the stuff, then you can buy all sorts of things that occupy your time and make you feel important and pleasure your senses. And for the most part, that's where people go. They just want their senses pleasured and they want their life in a place where people would admire it and get the accolades for that and feel important. Is there anything more exciting than being a VIP? Huh? Isn't that what everybody wants to be? A VIP? Not a humble person? How much would you do and how much would you live and give to your living to be a VIP? That's the question. Tim, I love you dearly and I love your questions and I thank you for being so generous and kind. I hope I helped you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful, beautiful day. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Hey, make a donation for our year-end drive. We need your help. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.